put on the Superman underwear, see how stupid you look, take it off, and put on the Spider-Man underwear, see how awesome it is.
Mexicillopoxinoxinilin-10. Welcome to the Applesauce Podcast. My name is Mike, and my co-host is Aaron. What's up, Aaron?
Heyo.
How was your week?
Great.
Awesome. All right. Well, we're coming to you from the 510 Studios today. I forgot to mention our producer last week, and he was bitter about it. So behind the glass over there is our producer, Taco. Now, we're too cheap to buy him a microphone, so you're not able to hear him. However, he is giving us a thumbs up. I'm not sure if that thumbs up is because he agrees that we're too cheap to buy a microphone, or if he's just saying hi. What do you think, Aaron?
Probably the latter.
Yeah, it really doesn't matter. Whatever. All right, before we get started, Aaron and I would like to thank you for downloading and listening to our podcast. So, thank you.
Thank you.
The best way to support us is to continue downloading and to give us a rating and review on iTunes or wherever you access the podcast. And please share this podcast with your friends and family. We would also love to hear from you. So send us your questions, comments, and suggestions. Our email is theapplesaucepod@gmail.com.
Theapplesaucepod@gmail.com.
All right. Are you ready, Aaron?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Let's start out with a would you rather question. Would you rather be born with an elephant trunk or a giraffe neck?
That's difficult because you've got different extended parts of your body. So would I rather have a really tall neck? Then I'd hit my head on doorways. Or would I rather smell and eat and drink with this really long straw? I'd have a really long straw that's just permanent. I want an elephant trunk.
I think for me it would be the practicality of the two. What's the benefit of having a trunk as opposed to having a long neck? I mean, a long neck is, you could reach things higher up, but only with your mouth. It wouldn't mean your arms are any longer. So it's not like you can go to the grocery store and reach the top shelf unless you're putting your mouth around the can of beans and bringing them down your shopping cart that way. Or, you know, I don't want to, like, I go in my closet and I'm not going to use my mouth to pull stuff down from the top shelf or in the garage, you know, especially if it's something heavy. Okay, but what's the benefit of having an elephant trunk? I mean, well, practically, besides a straw, what are we using it for? I mean, I guess you could suck water in and make it a shower, like the elephants kind of wash themselves with their trunk.
Well, and they grab stuff. They still grab stuff with their trunk, and it's technically not their mouth. The mouth's only on the end, so you could also kind of use it as a really long string that you can kind of maneuver in any way you want, wrap around something, pull it down like the can of beans.
So I guess you're saying is the elephant trunk can do what the long neck can, plus it can do other things. I see that now. That's what you're saying. So maybe an elephant trunk, although, so from appearance standpoints, the neck looks awkward, but the trunk would just be really out of place, wouldn't it?
You could just make it a scarf. Make it people think that you're wearing a really nice scarf that's just skin colored instead of a neck, which if you wore a scarf, it wouldn't work whatsoever.
Yeah, you'd have to use like a blanket for your scarf if you're a giraffe.
Really
a giraffe
long turtleneck.
Neck. Yeah, and I guess like you're like getting in a car, you'd always have to have a sunroof because your head would stick out the top. So yeah, driving would be really tough. Sleeping, you know, would be difficult because you'd have to like curl your neck around. You'd always have a crick in your neck or something because you need that. You need extra space for that neck to stretch out. So maybe the elephant trunk is the way to go. Okay, I can go with that. Next question. Would you rather shout all the time or whisper all the time?
I'd rather whisper all the time because currently, a lot of the time, I usually shout all the time and it doesn't end up so well.
So you would always be talking like this no matter what. So if you wanted to get somebody's attention, you would have a hard time getting their attention. Or you'd be out here yelling, "Hey, Aaron, I can right here beside you, but I need to talk to you. I need to tell you a secret that no one else can hear."
Imagine being at a funeral and you're just shouting. That wouldn't be very fun. Or
if you were talking about like the spouse, the person who died. "Can you see what they're wearing? I can't believe they wore that to a funeral, Aaron. That's just so rude."
Yeah, or if you're like, you know, in class and then your science teacher's up there talking nonsense about chemistry, doesn't know what she's talking about, and you're trying to lean over and tell your friend, she's got no clue what she's talking about, but instead you go, this lady's got no clue what she's talking about, and then you get in trouble.
Yeah, that wouldn't work too well. Plus, I'm thinking if you were shouting all the time, how would people know when you were angry? Because you're always shouting, so then you'd have to shout even louder to express your anger. So that would be difficult. Although whispering all the time, people aren't going to hear you as much. So you're not going to get the notice or the attention of others. If you're in a public place and you have a question, you know, for maybe the... trying to give an example. Maybe you go to the store, you go to Walmart, and you're trying to find, you know, Superman underwear, and you can't find him anywhere. So you want to talk to your associate. You're like, excuse me. Hey, excuse me, miss. Sorry, sir. Hey, excuse me. Excuse me. Hey, I can't find Superman underwear. Hey, can you help me? They may not hear you. So they're just going to keep walking. And so you would never find your Superman underwear.
Well, I know some people who might as well be whispering all the time. And I know people who might as well be yelling all the time. Personally, I prefer the people who might as well be whispering all the time. Because they're really, really, really quiet and nice and polite. Versus the people who are really, 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 really loud and usually obnoxious.
Yeah, I can see that point where whispering all the time is people are going to be more receptive. They're going to look at you as being, not more receptive, they're going to look at you as being nicer. Whereas we always associate yelling with being rude, obnoxious. So yeah, I can see that. You know, and plus, I just try to think of an example where you were speaking in public. If you whispered, you could always put a microphone there to broadcast that louder.
And you can turn it up and down. So if you're mad, you can, when you're whispering, why in the world did you do that? It could sound really, really loud.
Where it's harder to take that microphone and turn it down. I mean, you could, but if you're yelling, even if you turn the microphone off, people can still hear you yelling. So if you had a job where you had to actually speak in front of a group of people in public, or like in our case, no one would listen to this podcast if we were just constantly yelling at them all the time. They'd finally get mad and just turn it off.
Well, if we were whispering all the time too, then it might be difficult for them to hear us.
Yeah, but if I'm whispering, I could just get closer to the microphone. And although it may be a little difficult to hear, they can turn their volume up, I think. And I think this would be more pleasant sounding than if I were sitting back here yelling all the time at them. I don't think they'd want to listen to this podcast. It would just be really obnoxious. It'd be hard for them to turn it down. I just think people would be turned off more by the yelling than the whispering. So I think the whispering would be a more effective way. I think you would struggle for a while, but you'd find ways around that. Maybe like you'd always carry an apple in your pocket. You want someone's attention, you hit them in the head with the apple, and then you whisper to them what you want.
Just chuck an apple at someone's head.
Maybe not an apple, but maybe, you know, I mean, I don't know. You carry spitballs in a straw, and you just shoot a spitball at them, hit their side of their head. They look around, you wave at them, flag them down, and then you whisper to them, hey, can you help me find my Superman underwear? I don't know where they are in the store. I think that would work.
Yeah. Just have a little bell. Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, you're right. I didn't think about having another noisemaker. You know, and even I mentioned before, you could always use your hands, wave your hands around to get their attention. So I think the whispering would be the more effective way to...
Or Morse code. Even if you're loud, you don't have to yell. You just tap, 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 tap.
And you could always, if you're a whisperer, carry a megaphone around with you.
Yeah.
To hear people to hear you normally. Where, except if you're yelling, I don't know if you turn the megaphone the other way and talk into it, would it quiet it down?
No.
It doesn't work that way?
No.
It should. Maybe we should invent one of those anti-megaphone where when you talk into it, it quiets your voice.
So, like...
Instead of a megaphone, it would be like a mini phone.
Just a soundproof room. You could make that. And then even if it's soundproof, people could still hear you because you're yelling all the time.
Yeah, but it's hard to carry a soundproof room around with you all the way where you go. Where if you carry the megaphone or the new Applesauce podcast branded mini phone... You would yell into it, but it would project a quieter, nicer tone out the other side.
Yeah.
So I guess that leads me to the question then, and to expand on that, would you rather everyone in the world yelled or whispered all the time?
Whispered. I don't like getting yelled at, but I'd rather be whispered at. Because then eventually, too, though, but then again, if everyone's yelling, eventually your ears would adapt.
Yeah.
And change.
That's to say, if everyone's yelling, then it wouldn't be yelling. It would just be normal talking. But then I'm trying to think, if a room full of people whispering is just a bunch of murmurs, and you can't hear anything, but the same, a room full of people yelling, you still can't decipher because everyone's yelling. It's just a louder, you know, so
yeah,
it's a, or a, either way, you're not going to be able to decipher what people are saying.
Then again, though, if you see people whispering, just whispering, you might think they're talking about you.
But if everyone's whispering, then that becomes normal.
True.
I'm thinking, too, is if you're in, like, a crowded restaurant and everyone's whispering, to have a conversation, you've got to get closer to people. And that can get kind of awkward to really get up closer or have someone in your ear talking. It just becomes really awkward, especially if you're not that...
Orders for, like, if you're in the back for the restaurant, chefs, people usually yell, "Hey, I need this." But if they're whispering, "Hey, I need this," it's not very fun.
So maybe we should designate certain jobs only yell and certain jobs only whisper. So depending on what job you have, or even certain locations. If you walk into a library, you can only whisper. If you walk into a restaurant, you can only yell. If you're out in the street outside, you can only yell. But if you're in a movie theater, only whisper. So there's certain places you go where you can only talk, either yelling or whispering. So what do you think about that, having locations that are designated for yelling or whispering?
Well, then still, maybe, for instance, in a restaurant, it might be better for people to still whisper, but the chefs to yell. It still depends on who it is and what your role is.
To be based upon your job, I guess, can we start before your job or your role?
But then also your location, because if your role... Well, your role in your current location would determine it.
Okay. But I think overall, I think we both agree that whispering is... If we had to choose one of the other, whispering is the best choice of the two.
Very much.
All right, I think we beat that one down. Let's go to the next question here. Would you rather have a rewind button or a pause button in your life?
Well, with the pause button and the rewind button. So if you were to pause it, would you be able to do stuff while it's paused?
Yeah, that's what I was... I would say yes. So you could pause everything around you, but you could still move and function.
So that would be really, really cool. Because technically... And would you age while it's paused?
Ooh. Oh, so you're saying if we pause people for... Well, how long are you pausing people for now? Let me think about that.
Well, no, but my question is, if you were to pause people for 5 minutes every day... Eventually, it would add up, and maybe you'd lose a year of your life.
Yeah, but I think that would be kind of irrelevant. Cause whether you're 82 or 83 at the end, does it really matter? You're still old.
But still, if you go 5 minutes for 365 days for 80 years, that's more than a year.
I thought you were going to do the math for us, Sarah. I was going to say, whoa, don't be impressed. You could just spew that right out real quickly. Well, I mean, are you pausing people every day? I guess I would have to say yes. You would have to age because you're not paused, so your body still functions. So yes, you would continue to age, even during the pause times.
Okay. Which that's 146,000 minutes.
So you really did the math on that.
2433.3 hours.
We're gonna get the amount of days here now.
Hopefully.
This is fascinating podcast writing right here.
101 days that you'd lose of your life, which isn't even a year.
Yeah, it's a third of a year, so it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Now, if you were to pause people for like 4 or 5 hours every single day, now that makes a significant
amount. But knowing me, I'd probably walk into a classroom at school. The teacher would start talking. I'd just pause and just walk out.
But then when would you unpause?
Never. You could do whatever you want.
I think within reason. I mean, But so then let's say the rewind button. You're talking about aging. If I were to rewind 5 minutes every day, I would actually add an extra 10 minutes because I would I would live five, go back, relive that same five again.
Well, but the thing is, would you be the only one going back? Technically, it'd be the same as pausing for 5 minutes, except you wouldn't be able to do stuff.
Well, I think the rewind would be is if I hit the rewind button, I would know what happened so I could go back and redo something. The rest of the world wouldn't know, but I would know, you know, let's say I'm trying to think of an example. I made a decision to, it's a tough one. I made a decision to buy those Superman underwear and I get home and put them on and realize how stupid they look and realize I should have bought the Spider-Man underwear. I can hit rewind, go right back to that point in the store. Instead of having to take the underwear back and trying to exchange it, even though I've already worn it, I can hit rewind back an hour, go back to the store and make that decision. Because I know the Spider-Man or the Superman underwear isn't as cool as the Spider-Man underwear, so I know to buy the Spider-Man underwear, and I can make that decision over where the rest of the people in the store have no idea that we've rewinded.
Or, in that scenario, you could pause, put on the Superman underwear, see how stupid you look, take it off, and put on the Spider-Man underwear, see how awesome it is, take that off, unpause, and buy the Spider-Man underwear right then and there.
What do you do with the Superman underwear, though?
You leave it.
Yeah, that's just disgusting.
But nobody knows.
I do.
You will if I have a pause button, but you'll forget about it.
But let's just assume, what if other people hide this? What if you realize that other people have the pause button too? Now you're going to put them on thinking, what if someone else already paused and put them on? Where with the rewind, if I put them on and rewind, it's like they were never worn.
But then again, you get to thinking, how much of my life has been done but then changed because other people didn't like what happened to them? The world would be chaos.
Well, that's for both buttons. So the pause, how many times have I been paused while someone else did something while I was paused?
Then again, with pause, you could pause it, do whatever you want for the rest of your life, die. And if you die, would it be unpaused immediately? Because technically you didn't press the button again. Could you stop the world forever?
Who? Could you put the world in a perpetual rewind and never stop it and just completely backs up?
Like Superman flying around the earth the opposite way and then it slowly rewinds back in time.
Does Superman wear Superman underwear or Spider-Man underwear?
That's a good question.
Or does he wear Batman underwear?
Superman doesn't know Spider-Man.
He doesn't?
No. Probably wears Batman underwear.
You think so?
Yeah.
I wonder. Or does he just wear like tidy whities?
Who knows? This is an interesting topic.
We should, yeah. That was something to discuss for a later topic. But yeah, what kind of underwear does Superman wear? Chuck Norris underwear. That's what it is. Superman wears Chuck yes. Norris underwear. That's right. Okay. I think for me, I'm thinking of practicality. Is that a good word? Practicality? I think that's a word. I'm going to make that word anyway. The practicality of this would be, is how would I use each button? With the pause button, you can't necessarily change the situation. So if you made a mistake, you can't really change it. Other than, like, in your case, you could do something before you made the decision to determine your decision. But if you once you've made the decision, you couldn't go back and change it. So let's just say, I'm trying to think of a life example where maybe you get in a car accident. You know, you weren't paying attention, you run a red light, get in a car accident, you're at fault. With the rewind button, I could rewind it back a few seconds or a minute and completely prevent the accident. With the pause button, I would have to be aware and pause it as I'm running the red light before the accident happens to be able to stop things and move. And in that case, I don't know if I could move the car. Could I move things? Or could I just move me?
With the rewind, you would have to still be living to rewind.
Well, yes, but I'm assuming that this is not a deadly car accident. This is just
Well, if you've been incapacitated, it's kind of difficult to rewind. Whereas if you're about to be incapacitated, press the pause button, get out of the car. See who's in the other car. If you like them, take them out. If you don't like them, leave them in. And then just walk away, unpause, boom, watch it all happen.
But see, the problem is then the cars are still damaged, so now I've got to, now it's my fault. And I got to explain to the insurance company how the accident happened and I wasn't in the car.
You could steal the money with the pause button. Pause, walk into the bank, open it up, take the money, walk out, set the stuff with a note saying, for the car, and hit unpause.
I would prefer to do good as opposed to evil with these buttons, but I could see if you were to do evil, the pause button would be better because you could do a lot of robbing and theft and stuff with the pause button.
It's not exactly evil, it's just benefiting you.
At the expense of others. But like I said, I think the rewind button would be more beneficial because there are times where you make a decision and go, oh, I should, you know, hindsight 2020, like I say, that's the saying. I think it's better when you make a decision and see the result and go, oh, I need to do that over again. The danger with the rewind button is, would you be tempted to rewind a year or 2 years or 5 years or 10 years back to restart all over again? That's when it becomes really dangerous to where, oh, let me rewind 10 years ago when I made a decision to drop out of college and I want to try that again. Or I made a decision to become an art history major instead of a nuclear physicist or whatever. You know, I think that becomes scary to where you restart because then you're not... You're still 10 years older, so now you've aged a lot further, and that makes a huge difference.
Can you rewind to before you were born? Can you if you rewind before you got the button, you'd be forced to live it out.
Oh, so you were saying rewind to the point where you don't have the button, and now you've lost the button for the rest of your life.
Or if you just haven't been born yet, what would happen if you were to rewind?
That's a good question. I still think... I don't know the answer to that, but I think I would choose the rewind button. I just think I can make more use of that. Maybe we have to put limits on, you know, how far in the past you rewind, just the same as for how long you could pause and what you could and couldn't do. That's an interesting question, though. Be nice to have both. You could rewind and pause whenever you needed to. That would be pretty awesome. Yeah. Even a mute button. You just, someone gets annoying talking, you just hit the mute and they shut up. That would be really mute. Good. It doesn't work on me.
Mute.
You can try, but
mute.
It doesn't work on me.
Mute, 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 mute. No, it doesn't work.
All right. Next question. Would you rather... Ooh, this is tough. Okay. Would you rather be stuck on a broken ski lift or in a broken elevator? The mute button's not working here, and I'm still talking. Would you rather be stuck on a broken ski lift or in a broken elevator?
Well, I would rather be... Oh, goodness. I'd rather be in an elevator because ski lifts... You can see how far up you are. I'm terrified of heights. Elevators, you only have a general idea of how far up you are. Ski lifts, you can see. It's scary. That's it. Elevator.
Yeah, see, for me, I'm scared of heights. I have a fear of heights, but I'm also kind of claustrophobic. So I'm looking at the elevator going, it depends on how many people are in the elevator. If it's just me in the elevator, I could probably handle it. But if it's like 25 people, like it's a crowded elevator... That would be really tough because then I start to become, the claustrophobia starts to come out of me and I start to get a little sense of panic in there. I think the benefit of the elevator is you're at least attached in some way. So maybe you could pry the doors open or you could climb through the access in the top like you see in the movies. Or in a ski lift, your only way down is for either somebody to come rescue you with the ladder or something. Or to fix it, because I'm not shimmying up the cables and going down the cables to get out of there. So you're in that ski lift, unless you look down and go, maybe I can jump, which I'm probably not jumping off that either.
Pull a Van Halen and jump.
Oh, that's horrible. Okay. We might have to cut that. Okay. So, I mean, I guess if I saw the people jump, maybe there's like tens of 20s of feet of snow below us. Tens of 20s. You know, it's like a lot of snow where you jump and hit the snow and go into the snow knowing you're not, you know, but I just see someone else do that. But I think I'm with you. I would choose the broken elevator, especially if it's going to be for a long period of time. Because a ski lift, it's going to be cold up there. You're going to start getting really cold, danger of frostbite or something. But the elevator, it might get warm in there. I don't know. I don't know how air circulates in an elevator. I don't know if they have vents. I mean, I'm assuming the air just comes in when the door opens. So it's going to start getting stuffy with other people in there. You'll start sweating, but I feel like your danger of any kind of permanent injury is increased with the frostbite on the ski lift as opposed to the sweating in the elevator.
Heat exhaustion.
Although the ski lift, you're gonna be on there with maybe one other person, maybe two or three people on a ski lift, as opposed to you could have 10 to 20 in the elevator inside the elevator. But if I'm by myself, put me in the elevator. All right, let's go into our useless facts section here of the show. So our first useless fact, Aaron, is Australia has the biggest camel population in the world. So I just got to bring up that last week we talked about the law that it's illegal to hunt camel in Arizona. And after some research, we have our research team did some looking up for us this past week. Well, camels were actually a part of Arizonian history. And I'll put a link to that article that I read on our Facebook page, which in case you didn't know, and you probably don't because we haven't told you yet, but we have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/theapplesaucepod. facebook.com/theapplesaucepod. You can get links to our new episodes. We'll post up some random articles and facts that tie into what we've talked about or things we may have learned. So anyway, let's go back. Useless fact one, Australia has the biggest camel population in the world. Does that surprise you, Aaron?
Really? Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I think of camels, I think of the Middle East.
Oh, yeah. You know, maybe... Sahara Desert.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking like the Sahara Desert or even like Saudi Arabia. Maybe I don't think of Australia. I think of kangaroos. I think of Australia.
Although it makes sense for Australia because Australia is kind of like a big desert. No, not exactly a desert, but the outback. That thing's huge. It could have pretty much anything in it.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess there is that climate that camels tend to thrive in. I just didn't expect that the biggest camel population would be in Australia. Although, maybe it's trying to take the biggest camel as in the biggest country, the population in the country. So the country with the largest camel population would be Australia, which would make sense just because Australia is bigger in land than, say, Saudi Arabia or somewhere else in the Middle East, you know, Iran, Iraq, something like that, or even Africa, somewhere in that point. So maybe it's just because of the vast size of Australia they win that prize. I don't know. Yeah. All right, useless fact number two. It is impossible to tickle yourself.
Can I try right now?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't work well for the podcast. People can't see you because it's not video yet, but Taco and I are enjoying watching you try to tickle yourself. Is it working?
No. Oh, I got an idea.
You're tickling the bottom of your foot. Now, you got to describe what you're doing here.
Well, I'm trying. I'm tickling the bottom of my foot. It's making me laugh, for sure. But not as much as a normal tickle would.
See, I'm tickling my foot. I'm not laughing. But if somewhere else were to tickle my foot, I'd be laughing, right? Because I am pretty ticklish. But, yeah.
If I were to give you a massage, would you laugh?
That would just be awkward. Let's not do that here.
Okay.
No massages on the podcast, please.
Okay.
That's against the, that's rule number 42 of our podcast ethics book.
Rule number 42 is 42 is the answer to life, the universe, and everything.
That's rule number 6. All right, now, so it is impossible to tickle yourself. I guess that's useful. I don't know. I can't think of a time when you'd use that, but we'll use that. So that's why it's in our useless fact column here. All right, number 3. Scorpions can hold their breath underwater for up to 6 days.
Did someone, like, sit down with a timer?
Well, that's what I was wondering. Did someone hold one under for 6 days in, like, 1 minute and go, oh, he died. Shouldn't have gone that long. You know, but I'm thinking of scorpions are in, like, dry climates. So why would they need to hold their breath underwater? Because where is there that much water that they have to go underwater to stay?
Maybe they're cousins with lobsters.
I could see that.
They look similar.
Are the scorpions part of the lobster family?
Who knows? Well, they're probably not part of the lobster family, but they're like...
the crustacean family or whatever.
Who knows? They're probably friends. Like, you got Mr. Krabs and Mr. Scorpion. Best buds right there. So Mr. Scorpion learned swim lessons from Mr. Krabs. How to hold his breath.
Okay, that's not real.
That's what happened.
All right, so but seriously, I mean, why would a scorpion have to hold his breath for 6 days underwater?
Because Mr. Krabs taught him.
But crabs and lobsters can breathe underwater. That's what I'm saying is, scorpion doesn't breathe, he just holds
his breath.
But
the scorpion wasn't built to breathe underwater. Like, for instance, if you were built to run really fast, you could teach someone how to run really fast for a certain amount of time, but you couldn't ever get them to the level you are.
Well, I'm saying, though, but for being serious here for a second, why would a scorpion need to hold his breath that long?
Who knows? It's useless for a reason.
I know, I never thought of a scorpion being somewhere where it'd have to go underwater, maybe there's a survival situation. I don't know, are scorpions born underwater? Maybe they're born underwater and that's why I don't know. Useless fact number 4, and this may not be as useless as it sounds, but putting sugar on a wound or cut will greatly reduce pain and shorten the healing process.
That's interesting. I didn't know that. Keep sugar in your first aid kit.
Yeah, I don't know if this is true. Again, it's something I found on the internet. It may be completely wrong, but I've never heard of putting sugar on a wound. And I don't know the science behind that.
There's no science against it.
Maybe not. But if it really did work, wouldn't hospitals use sugar?
Well, that they probably have different painkillers or something similar to that that are stronger than sugar. Maybe sugar has such a small effect that it's almost unnoticeable.
It's an effect. It's better than nothing.
Yes.
So, okay, so I get it. So this is just saying putting sugar in the wound will greatly reduce the pain and shorten the healing process, but it may not be sugar is the best ointment for healing. I see what you're saying now. Okay.
Maybe there's side effects.
Yeah, so maybe putting, you know, like alcohol in the wound is 500 times better than sugar, but if you were in, say, a coffee shop and you cut yourself on the fork and all you had was sugar or cream, would go for sugar.
Yeah.
But then again, maybe the creamer, the half and half, would be better. We don't know.
Maybe it had alcohol in it.
Yeah, maybe. Well, maybe if you're in a coffee shop that spikes their coffee, then you just get the alcohol. Interesting. I guess if you're ever out in the woods and all you ever have is sugar and you cut yourself, it's better than nothing, right?
Who would be in the woods with just sugar?
I don't know.
Just, Mom, I'm going to the woods. Okay, bring your sugar.
Well, you never know, you know. Be prepared. All right. Useless fact number 5. Sloppy handwriting by doctors has killed more than 7,000 people and injures more than 1.5 million people annually due to getting the wrong medication.
Makes sense. That makes total sense.
It's actually kind of scary to think about that because the doctor is writing illegibly, which I know it tends to be kind of a thing you think of, doctors have sloppy handwritings. Maybe that's stereotyping all doctors because maybe they don't. In this day and age now with the electronic, the capabilities that we have electronically, handwriting isn't as important because doctors now can submit prescriptions online to the pharmacy directly. So maybe that's helping to reduce that. I don't know how old these stats are. This could be, you know, pre-internet or could be 10 or more years old, you know. But I just thought it was interesting that because that sloppy handwriting, that it's not, it's killing, 7,000 people have died, but 1.5 million every year get injured because of the wrong medication.
Life hack, ask for the doctor with the best handwriting.
Yeah, well, that's what I say. Yeah, you choose a doctor. You go, hey, let me see you write a note. Let me see you write a prescription. Oh, nope, I'm not taking you. I can't read that. But then again, even if you could read his handwriting, half the time the name of the medications are like Mexacillopoxynoxynilin-10. So no one knows what they are anyway. And the pharmacist is probably looking at it and going, eh, this looks close, and they just give you that. You know, maybe they should just give you sugar.
put sugar on your sore throat.
Maybe. I don't know. That would greatly reduce the pain and shorten the healing process, right? Well, no, that was back to a wound or a cut. Sore throat is not a wound or a cut. So I'm not sure that would affect or help the sore throat. Yeah, so the sugar is not going to help the sore throat. But if the doctor gave you a prescription for, I don't know, some kind of ointment for a wound, I guess it could be sure. I don't know. It's just kind of scary to think about. So, useless fact number 6. And I know you're going to do this as soon as I tell you. You're going to try this. Because you tried to tickle yourself and I said you couldn't do that. So here we go. Number 6. It is impossible to hum while holding your nose.
Oh, I've tried this before. It's very difficult, but it might actually be possible. Because if you use a...
Is that really humming though? Hum.
It's very muted.
Because when you hum, you actually exhale air. And because your mouth is closed, it's coming out your nose. When you hold your nose, you can't exhale the air. That's what's going on there.
Well, no, it's also for breathing purposes. And it amplifies the sound.
Yeah, but the sound is from the air passing through your throat. And so the air is coming through your throat and coming out your nasal passages.
Well, the vibrations come through, which the more open nasal passages, which creates the louder sound. You can still hum. It's just very muted because it has to go through your skin. So,
you know what scares me is we're talking like we actually know what we're talking about. And neither one of us have the slightest clue what we're talking about here. we're making it sound like we know, oh, this is how it works. The air and the vibrations.
No, it does. Because I know what I'm talking about.
I know what I'm talking about.
I always know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so do I.
Because if you think about it, it's kind of like your voice. The reason that you hate your voice in recordings is because you hear the vibrations from all around the room and through your skull. It goes from your vocal cords. It vibrates through your skull to your eardrums.
It's like bone conduction hearing as opposed to hearing through the sound waves.
Which is why you can still hum while...
But I don't consider that humming, though.
It's technically humming by definition.
I remember when I was in, it was Boy Scouts or Cub Scouts. Remember, we always had a humming competition where you two people would get up there and hum and see who could hum the longest to win. So it was a constant hmm. So try that, but you can't do that with your nose closed. You can't go hmm. It doesn't last. As soon as I pinch my nose off, that humming, I can't hold it. I can't sustain it.
Because you can't breathe as well.
But there's no breathing. So when you're humming, I'm not breathing in. I'm just exhaling air.
It's probably because the carbon dioxide is getting caught in there, making the air thicker and harder to receive the oxygen.
We have no idea what we're talking about here.
I'm making theories. I'm smart. I know what I'm talking about.
Regardless, it's still impossible to hum while holding your nose, okay?
I just did it, so...
Well, that's not what I call a hum, so I'm going to say, no, you're wrong. You didn't do it.
I'm right.
All right. Here's a... I thought this was kind of interesting. It's still useless, though. So here's useless fact number 7. The Philippine island of Luzon contains a lake that contains an island that contains a lake that contains another island.
Oh, that's actually, like, really cool. Because when I was on my Iowa Isle trip, right, we saw an island inside of a lake that was inside of an island that was inside of the lake. And if you count continents, it was inside of an island.
Yeah, so this is so the Philippines. Take the Philippines, who themselves are a series of islands.
Yeah.
But it's the northernmost island of the Philippines, which is Luzon Island, L-U-Z-O-N, okay? And then on the southern end of Luzon Island, there is a lake called Tail Lake, or Tail Lake, T-A-A-L Lake, okay? So on the island, there's a lake, okay? Now, in that lake, Tail Lake, is the volcano, Tail Volcano, okay? That volcano is an island inside Tail Lake, okay? And inside the volcano is a crater lake, okay? And that in that crater lake, there is another landmass, which is Vulcan Point. So there is an island inside a lake, inside of an island, inside of a lake, inside of another island. I think I got that right.
That sounds about like how many I had, but this is more cool because it's a volcano.
But what gets me is, so apparently this is the largest island within a lake on an island within a lake on an island, which makes me wonder, is there a second largest? I mean, is there more of these out there?
Where I was, that was the second largest.
But is that the same? Is that the same number of islands and lakes come together? I mean, that's a lot of islands and lakes to put together.
Yes.
Okay. So that's the second largest. Are you sure that's, maybe there's more? Maybe there's hundreds of these out there. Thousands of these we don't know about.
Maybe we're in one.
I almost want to go visit just to say that I was on an island in a lake, on an island in a lake, on an island.
I was
in the ocean.
On the island that was in the lake, that was on the island that was in the lake, on the island.
That was in a lake?
No.
No lake. Okay.
Because it was the ocean.
Yeah. See, that's a lot to that. Okay. So anyway, that's useless, but I don't know. Maybe it would be useful. And finally, our last useless fact, number 8. In Germany, there are fake bus stops outside of nursing homes to prevent confused senior citizens from wandering off.
So you got grandma here trying to walk out of the nursing home, and she's sitting next to a bus stop, which the bus is never coming for?
It's a fake bus stop. It's not a real bus. So it makes me wonder, is there a problem in Germany that nursing homes, the senior citizens are trying to escape by going to bus stops? Or is it because they just wander out and find a seat and sit down, and they don't realize it's a bus stop, but then a bus comes and they get on and leave, so they had to put a fake one there just to give them a place to sit?
Well, with nursing homes in general, it's kind of a problem that the old people are escaping.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Is life that bad in a nursing home that you have to escape, but your only way of escaping is on a bus?
It's the only thrill they get.
To run away on a bus?
Yes.
So my next question is, do they just let them sit in the bus stop for days and just go, well, you're not going anywhere, we're going to let them sit there? Or do they actually go out and bring them back in, you know?
They kind of have to bring them back in. That's kind of cruel to let just watch them sit there.
And then again, how many senior citizens did they lose when they realized they had to put a fake bus stop? I mean, at some
multiple.
Point, at some point, they go, oh, we lost Gladys to another bus. And then it's like, we lost Eugene and we lost Leo. And now we need to put a fake bus stop. They keep going to this bus stop and leaving. Let's put a fake one up to just fool them. So there had to have been a problem, because it wasn't the first one they did, and it wasn't the second. It had to have been multiple ones for them to invest money. And this isn't just one nursing. According to this, it's I would assume, fairly common in nursing homes in Germany to have fake bus stops out front.
Yeah. That would make sense.
And then I think, is there a bus driver driving through and goes, oh, there's a bus stop there, I didn't realize I was supposed to stop, and pulls and stops anyway?
And then the old people get on that anyway.
Yeah, and so the fake bus stop fools the bus driver, who then hauls these people away, and then no one knows where they're going.
So they lose Gladys again.
They lost Gladys Jr.
Yeah.
I just wonder.
Actually senior. Citizen.
So, okay. It could be senior. Okay, I got you. All right, so anyway. Just so you know, if you're ever in Germany and you see a bus stop from a nursing home, it's probably not real, so don't wait for the bus. That is useful information right there. So we took a useless fact and made it useful.
Yes.
That's our good deed for the day. So I say we should end right there. We've done our listeners a service, and we should just consider that the high point of the podcast, and let's close this out.
And yes, we should dedicate this podcast to Gladys Sr. and Gladys Jr., who were lost in Germany.
They sacrificed their lives to help protect other senior citizens from doing the same.
And to help us do this podcast.
Although I doubt they died. They just got on a bus, and I'm sure somebody found them eventually.
But still, our prayers go out to Gladys Sr. and Jr.
Although usually it would have to be like Leo, because I don't know if women are usually named seniors. It's usually the men that are named seniors and juniors.
So then Gladys and Leo. We thank you, Gladys, and thank you, Leo.
It's funny you say that, because that's my grandma and granddad on mom's side, was Gladys and Leo. It's just randomly it came up that way. They didn't, but neither one of them were in Germany, although they both were in World War II, so they might have been in Germany. I think they were in Germany, but neither one of them died of getting on the wrong bus at a bus stop, so that
they probably just didn't tell you that they got on a bus stop when they were trying to escape the World War II nursing home.
I don't think they were in a nursing home in World War II. They weren't quite that old at that time. All right, anyway, so thank you for downloading and listening to the Applesauce Podcast. If you're still listening, we really appreciate that. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, rate, and review it. And if you have any questions, comments or suggestions, send them to Aaron or me at theapplesaucepod@gmail.com.
Theapplesaucepod@gmail.com.
You can also visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/theapplesaucepod. You can post comments or questions there as well. You can reach us through that either way. And if you have any ideas for segments on the show, topics you want us to discuss, maybe you have a life question that you just don't know we're going to answer to and you want us to answer it, send it to us. We'll be glad to help you out. So until next time, we're out of here.
They're probably tired of listening to you, so mute.
It's not working. I can still talk.
Mute.
Still not working.
Mute.
And mute. Cue the music.
That's pretty useless.